Hello, hello, all of my beautiful freaking people. Welcome back to another episode of FML Talk. It is that time of the month, y'all. I feel like that's how I started the last episode that he was on. Anyways, Tay's here. We're going to talk about sex. So grab a cocktail and welcome to FML Talk.
Oh my God.
Wait, how old was the other girl?
19. Can you believe that shit?
Hey, this is Gabrielle Stone.
With book?
He did what?
48 hours?
What a dick.
Yeah, but have you seen all the photos on our Instagram?
And this is FML Talk.
Oh no, she didn't.
Hi, babe.
Hi.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
I was going to do that. You stole that.
I'm going to put you back on the spot. Can you?
Oh, fuck. Here we go.
Can you repeat what you said in your test audio when we were testing our mics?
Oh, my God. Why do you got to do it? Because you know I'm going to do it. It's just so dumb. I said, sometimes in the mornings, I get a boner.
We're adults here, guys. We have a whole ass child, and this is how we act when we're recording an episode.
Yeah, it's like...
So a lot of people do write into the show and have asked me in my DMs what sex has been like pre-baby versus post-baby.
Right.
All the things, how you keep the spice alive.
Right. Well, I think we can break it down into three categories. There was pre-pregnancy sex, then there was pregnancy sex, then there was post-pregnancy
sex. So it's basically like, in my terms, 34 years of my... Well, that sounds... When did I lose my virginity? 15 years of my life.
I didn't even do the math. I was like, oh my God.
15 years. No, that's 30. That's wrong. 20. 20 year math. 20 years of my life. So 20 years of sex, mm-hmm. and then 9 months of sex, which could really be broken up into three different sections in that 9 months.
Yeah, totally.
And then the rest of your fucking life.
Right. Yeah. That 9 months is because it was different. I will say this here and now, it was different. Not because of me. you were feeling different feelings.
I was a wild sex machine in my second trimester and third trimester. Yeah. I still, like, maybe once a week, just stop what I'm doing and look at Tay and say, I'll never forgive you for not having sex with me that one night I wanted to, because the next day I went into fucking labor and you haven't been able to touch my nipples since.
I know, literally. Well, let's start right there. And it's like, you know, I think sex has to be a comfortably discussed topic at all times. And, like, you know, I think it's somewhat of a taboo subject to talk about within a relationship, you know. And I think it's, like, great for you to say, hey, let's do something, let's get frisky, and me to say, can we wait till tomorrow? I mean, you do that all the time.
Well, you know? I wouldn't say all the time.
No, I know. But I just think that that's healthy.
Yeah.
It's healthy. That sucked that particular time because that was just literally the last time.
Yeah.
The last time until we had the baby.
I'll still never forgive you.
I know.
For that.
Yeah. How could I know?
I knew. My fucking intuition knew. Because I'm right 98% of the time.
Well, I can't argue that.
Okay. So I want to talk about a few different things in this episode. I want to talk about the stigma that exists in relationships about having sex. And that, you know, the one person is, like, owed it, and then the guilt and shame that the other person ends up feeling. I want to talk about how you can politely, maybe that's not the right word, without, like, taking a massive shit on your partner's ego, decline the invitation.
Right.
Which we just had an interesting experience with in the past couple months.
Wait, refresh my memory.
Okay, so basically, this was my fuck up. I don't fuck up often, guys, but when I do fuck up, I own it. And here we are in all my glory.
Guys, this is how impromptu we are. I have no fucking idea what she's about to say. Like,
Panic.
0 minutes of discussion about, hey, let's talk about this or that. Zero. I have no idea what you're about to,
like,
say.
It's like, the baby's down for a nap. Get in here. We have to record
quickly.
A podcast.
We got to record this. And okay, we're going to talk about sex. And go.
So it had been a long day. Tay was working. I had been with the baby for, like, most hours of the day. I was fucking exhausted. just exhausted. And I had like been breastfeeding and like, you know, at the Moomoo farm, I had pumped and like I was so fucking tired. It was in sleep training, which, by the way, if you listen to last month's episode with us, like I can confidently say it was the best fucking thing we ever did. Stone like peacefully goes to sleep now at 7 p.m. every night and like sleeps like a motherfucking like angel baby until like 6:30 in the morning. It's fucking great. But again, do what you feel comfortable with.
Right.
So I was exhausted. We were in the middle of sleep training. So like my heart hurt and it was just fucking it had just been a day. And I had made it known that it had been a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting on the toilet, peeing, getting ready for bed. And in Tay's defense, like I've always said, like, babe, if you ever need a blowjob, just like come and ask. Like it's like 2 minutes. Your face is right now. It's like 2 minutes of my day. It's not a big deal. And that's not any commentary on you. That's commentary on how skilled I am. I'll just pat myself on the back. Blowjob classes are extra. You can get that on the Patreon subscription. anyways, so he like saunters into the bathroom while I'm peeing with like my head in my hands of like how god awful tired I am. You're like, so how about a blowjob?
My god.
And I literally looked at you and was like, are you fucking kidding me?
I think you even said those words.
And yeah, it was pretty bad. I was in a state. And I think when we talked about it later, like after you had a mini meltdown and you were like, you don't have to ever say it to me like that.
Yeah, I'm sensitive.
I think you literally said my penis ran up inside me to hide.
Like, definitely don't want that around me.
Run away, retreat.
Oh my god.
But it was my bad, partly because I had told you, like, you know, if that's ever something you need, because this was like earlier on postpartum when like sex was still pretty painful, and we'll get into all that fucking yummy goodness later.
Well, I mean, that was a big part of it. We weren't having,
well, we were having very, very like we were really minimal and occasional sex. And
there was a few, there was many, how many months?
No, there weren't months.
Yeah.
No, dude, it was just like once, and it was like really gnarly, and we'd be like, yeah, no, and then we would then like do everything else.
Yeah, then we waited for like, it was at least 2 months, 3 months where we didn't really...
Well, you're
really...
supposed to wait 6 weeks, which is a month and a half.
Yeah, so then after that, though, I'm saying there was another like, because it was painful.
Yeah,
And then it actually started to get into my head a little bit, because like...
Well, yeah, because you're like, am I hurting her?
Yeah, so I'm not like, I'm not fucking into it.
Yeah, it's
like,
it's a whole thing post head coming out of your vagina that just is like a different beast, quite literally.
I will say this, though. There's some, fairy tales out there that say like the guys look at the woman differently. And that is so not the case. I think like...
Wait, what do you mean?
You know, after they give birth, some guys are like, well, now you're the mother of my kid. And I'm not like, they lose that certain sex.
Oh, really?
Drive.
I haven't heard of this.
And I don't know. There's something, there's something about you for me that does, it's like magic.
I got the magic stick.
It's like fucking magic.
Anyways, so that was my fuck up. And it like, it just came out of pure exhaustion. And it really took a steaming pile of shit and dumped it on your ego. And I felt bad about it.
Yeah. And I mean,
and then I got in bed and felt fucking guilty and felt like I needed to make up for it. And then we ended up doing it anyways after 10 minutes of me coercing him into, please let me give you a blowjob. please have your dick come back out from up inside you.
Well, I mean, I'll state it here and now, I'm overly sensitive. Mm-hmm. Let's not say overly sensitive. Let's say sensitive sometimes to a fault.
Yeah, but I think that's good. I think that makes you a good human and a
good
man.
I could have easily, though, rolled over those words. You said what you were. I could have just been like, sat and took it and been like, well, she's just going through a thing right now.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have had the communication opportunity and we wouldn't have talked through it. And I wouldn't have gotten the lesson that, like, even when I'm like tired and exhausted, like just, say it a little nicer.
So then it comes. So then the next time it doesn't, it becomes, it's not a thing. And that's why I think are communicating. I mean, that's why this relationship is so fun, because we communicate constantly about all that stuff.
Summer is here and life is not slowing down for us anytime soon. One of the things we have continuously relied on making our lives so much easier is Factor meals. No prep, no mess, no cleanup meals. I have really been off the wagon with my eating since having my son, and for my health, my wellness, and my mental sanity, I have been switching my dinners to more healthy options from Factor. They have 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so I never get bored. And Tay is continuously shocked every time he sits down to eat one because they are so freaking tasty. They have breakfast, lunches, dinners, and desserts. It's a treat to have restaurant quality food that is so easy to prepare and doesn't come with the insane Postmates bill. Head to factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 and use code FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code FMLTalk50 at factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Enjoy, FMLers. But I will say that I do definitely have a thing where even if it's like, just like, hey, do you want to like have some sex? And it's like, I'm not mean about it. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Can we just not? I still have guilt around it. And that is from the big D, Daniel.
Oh, I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
That's an oxymoron.
No, that's
yeah, I got it.
That's from my first marriage for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's, yeah, I agree for sure. I've heard the ins and outs of that marriage and all of that stuff. But I think there might be, that could be somewhat valid in all.
Yeah.
Because whenever somebody wants to, you know, mix it up, let's say, for the lack, thank you, Chandler.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. For some, you know, and then the other person kind of says no. Me, of course, it's they're gonna. Yeah, well, they shouldn't take it egotistically. They shouldn't be like, oh, it's because they don't like me anymore. That's at the beginning of a relationship. Listen, we're fucking set in. We're in. It's a marriage. We have a kid, and like, there is no like. I mean, I've told you this before, but there is no problem with it, you saying you're tired or.
Yeah, no, I know. And I do know from talking to my girlfriends that, and this is getting into the society pressure, I think, that a lot of my girlfriends have expressed like, well, I don't really like necessarily want to have sex or enjoy having sex. I'll just do it because I know he like needs slash wants mm-hmm. it. And like, that's so grimy to me.
Right. Yeah. I mean, every once in a while,
understand that. But it's like, how can we figure out a better way to like, make that not a thing?
Well, I think
it's in the relationship.
Yeah, therapy that goes way beyond like, you know, there's not that attraction.
Right. But I'm saying that like, it's something that I hear too often from too many women.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah. I wonder what it's like on the guy's side. Like, what are they saying? I think like, unfortunately, a lot of guys can be very piggish and they just get over it. Ugh. They get over it. They're like, I want to move on.
Right.
I think like, yeah, unless they're really attached, like spiritually and mm-hmm. from the heart, they're going to get over it.
Well, and that's why people then feel pressured to do it mm-hmm. because they're like, well, I don't want him to get over it. So I guess I'll just have the sex.
Yeah. That's the wrong relationship.
Correct.
That's like, that's the answer right there is this isn't the relationship I need to be on.
Well, right. Now, but so many people listening to this are going, cool, I'm married with X amount
with
of kids.
And I was
like,
just about to say,
or
I have
decide to get divorced.
Yeah,
so
you can't
like,
just like walk away from things. Yeah.
Therapy.
That's
therapy.
Yeah. Try to work it out through therapy. I don't know. not everybody's us, but like, I look at you in the mornings, I look at you all the time, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so fucking lucky. You're so fucking hot to me. And like, you know, I'm not even getting inside of your mind and your compassion and the personality. I'm just like, you're drop dead gorgeous.
I'm so glad you're so blind, babe.
Well, I mean, like, every time I look at you, I'm just like, oh my God, how lucky am I? So what was the other question?
Well, let's talk about how sex has been post human head coming out of my vag. I also, do you ever think of like, because I'm a parent now, I need to stop talking like this. How boring would that be though? What if I was just like, welcome to FML Talk. Let's talk about how sexual intercourse has been after the birth of my child.
I think you gotta just what be authentic. The fuck, man? You gotta be authentic, but it does make it kind of, if like we had a studio audience,
I would probably ham it up even more.
Oh, I know you
and
would.
I'd be like, how many of you fuckers have children? Let's get down and dirty. Okay.
Well, okay, so for yes, we're gonna get post. Pre-pregnancy, everything was amazing. I think we had a wonderfully like active sexual relationship. We had moments where we were like the honeymoon phase and all those, and we mm-hmm. had a couple of those, you know. So I think it was wild. Then I remember a couple times
you just said we had a couple of those. Pro tip: if you like the honeymoon phase, just break up with the person you're with four fucking times and then get back together. I'm kidding. Well, don't
as
do
long
that.
As you go write a fucking book about it. Like, and I think there were a few times where we weren't really. And that was kind of interesting. I remember at your apartment.
Yes, it's in the book.
Yeah. and then during the pregnancy, like you said, it was absolute insanity.
Yeah.
Post-pregnancy.
Tay was like, Gabrielle, I need a break.
Yeah.
My penis is about
to
fall off.
It got to the point where I didn't even feel bad about saying no. I just was like, absolutely not. It's not happening.
Also, I'd like to point out that for whatever reason, I don't know if it's like a taboo thing, but like whenever I post a vibrator, like sex positive post on my Instagram page, which by the way, that is my favorite company. I will always promote for them. Obviously, like it's a paid thing, but like I only work with companies that I love. We use that fucker multiple times a week. It is my favorite. But I think it's so funny because without fail, I will get comments of like, oh, is Tay sleeping on the couch now? And like, what are you not telling us? And I'm like, please refer back to the episodes where I kindly tell you that like 75% of women cannot climax without like some other type of assistance. And like that percentage is higher from like P and VG sex. Like that's like the last thing on the list that's going to probably give you an orgasm.
Right.
And, you know, even your friends. Your friends fucking sending you text messages like, Tay, what are you not telling us?
Yeah.
Guys, maybe we would all be having the amount of sex that Tay and I are currently having if we were not so scared of
exploration.
Well, and like, you know, supporting players in the bedroom.
And also, like, who gives a shit like how it works, or I mean, how one person can climax or another? Like, hey, as long as everybody's fucking walking around smiling, like that's all that matters. I remember you. Oh, do I want to bring this up?
Oh, God. Oh, I've never seen you get to a place of being like, oh, I don't know if I should mention.
Well, I remember you talking about Javier.
Ugh.
I love that reaction. Woo. That felt good.
And not having an orgasm with
him. And being all bummed out that you would use that, you would want to use that. And
that he made me feel like shameful. About like, well, can't you just come with me? And I was like, well, like, do you want me to answer that?
And it really, like, who gives a shit? Like, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah. That's an ego thing.
Sex post pregnancy was
a journey.
A journey. Well, it was non-existent for 6 weeks, then for about a month and a half.
Do you know that there's like a lot of stories out there about shitty men like forcing or not like, you know, pressuring their partners into having sex quicker than that, when it's like literally doctor recommended to like chill out because like I just tore all my shit down there.
Yeah, dude. Like, fucking take it easy.
Ridic is what it was. Okay. Ridic. No pun intended. So yeah, it was brutal. And
I remember the first time. It was, yeah. It was like,
I literally looked at you and you were like, does this hurt? And I was like, it feels like you are stabbing sandpaper. Me with a knife.
Yeah.
And there's sandpaper just everywhere.
Yeah.
And so then I go to my OB and I'm like, this can't be normal. Like, can you give me some advice? And she literally, she's from New York. She's like, really ridiculous in the best way. And she was like, yeah, have a couple cocktails and like use a shit ton of lube, like a whole bottle of lube. And I'm like, okay, it's like the Sahara Desert in there. And I have a scar that is literally making me feel like I'm being torn apart by his penis. I don't think any amount of lube is going to fix that.
Right.
What it took to fix that was A, time, and B, every time we would, you know, obviously use the lube and all the things, but like go, like I had to like inch it in.
Yeah,
like
very slow. Like it wasn't your normal.
No, it was romantic, like, sit there, don't fucking move, romantic, and let me figure it out. Like, yeah. Don't move.
There was zero like intimacy. It was like a medical procedure the first couple times. But you know, I mean, I think there's horror stories out there where that doesn't happen.
Of course, you know. Yeah. No, there's been times more recently, because every time it like started to get a little better, and even if it would still hurt at first, it would like get better as we went on. But like, we were very like talking and like this and this and do this and like, you know, which helped a lot.
Well, and let's get into also another factor of all of this. Once the physical stuff started to come around, we also are battling time and place and privacy. And, you know, we have 1.5 kids, where it was like we have 2 kids, but only half the time is with one of them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
we've been having a lot of morning sex during the first nap.
I'm down with that.
That's kind of been our thing.
Back to my intro. Sometimes I get boners in the morning.
That's going
to
be the title of the episode. Yeah. Sometimes I get boners in the morning with Tamor Ghazi.
Yep. And there's the clip. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
So yeah, it's been a journey. We definitely didn't hop straight into the PMVG. I have friends that have given birth that are still like, yeah, no, I can't do it. I'm not ready. Because it's, yeah, the first time we did it, I was like, oh no, this is not.
Yeah.
This is, no.
Well, and also everything has changed. I can't touch this. I can't touch that. I can't.
First, it was like, don't take your hands off my nipples. Jesus. Now it's like, don't get fucking near
fucking
my nipples.
Rules. I got to sign an NDA. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
It's tough, dude, when you're having like, you know, something suck on your boobs 4 to 5 times a day, and then you have to milk yourself like the fucking Moo Moo farm. And then like people want to touch your boobs. You're like, absolutely not. Get the fuck off. This is a food source now.
Right.
So it's tough.
It's a wonder I come in when you're taking a pee going like, hey, how about a blowjob?
And then I think the biggest ingredient is you have to fucking like go with the flow, and you have to be able to laugh at yourselves. Like you have to be able to just laugh at the situation and like be able to like find the times when they arise. There's no shame in scheduling sex.
No.
To me.
No, because I mean, you really have to kind of, when you have kids running around, you got to figure it out.
Yeah. Like,
you know, time, place, meet me here.
Yeah. Pants off.
Yeah. Well, this morning was really nice.
Awkward pause.
Yeah, awkward pause. When you texted me, I was out there. You're like, come to me. I can't believe I revealed it.
I'm laughing at your fucking, you're like a 12-year-old sometimes, and it's really funny. So if you guys are going through the, I've been in this relationship for too long and I'm bored and like sex is boring and like I know all the things, what is one of your things as a man that someone could do to spice things up? Don't you love when I put you on the spot and ask questions that you need to give very thought out answers for, and you're just like, got to answer quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I think
the spontaneity, I'll answer first. I think the spontaneity is a thing, like in the middle of the day, a text that's like, hey, meet me here in 10 or whatever, or, you know, something that's like kind of throws them off guard, like a little blowjob in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Sesh.
Midday.
I will never forget. We were probably like, this was probably like 2 weeks postpartum, and I literally like breastfed the baby, put him down for a nap, came into the bathroom, gave you a blowjob, baby woke up, went back, got the baby, got him back down. God. I was like, I'm motherfucking superwoman, dude. I'm fucking superwoman.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think like spontaneity is a big one. That takes away the monotony of like, okay, at night, let's go. Or, I mean, I love mornings. I think that's pretty spontaneous to me.
Yeah.
And it's for some reason, I don't know. This could be a guy thing, but for some reason, guy.
No,
for
morning
me,
wood. That's a thing.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Also, God. Also, although we don't do this, but like surprise stuff, like I'll give you an example. God, maybe we should do this. Maybe I should give the example. But like some type of role playing or just like.
Dude, okay. So. You obviously, you guys know Taymor is an actor. I was, is, dabble, whatever. So we tape a lot of auditions. We can't even have a fucking script in front of us.
Yeah, there's no way.
When we tape auditions, we're not allowed to look at each other because we will just fucking start laughing. There is no way if I walked in and was like, meet me at the bar for a blind date, like we'd be fucking dying, dude.
Oh my God. And try to keep the keeping
yeah,
character
dude, there's
like
no
way.
Way.
No way. Yeah. So I don't know. I think spontaneity is kind of that, or like trying something completely different. Like,
or like bring a toy in the bedroom.
Yeah.
You know,
fingers in the butt. I don't know.
Whoa. He says with something you won't even let me do. Don't suggest stuff that you haven't tried, bro.
Don't knock it. This is what exhaustion does.
You
say
you
things you regret immediately. I've covered my mouth after I've said like five things.
Okay. For the love of God, that's enough about our sex life. We are going to jump into some of your listener questions. Here we go. I have a crush on someone at work, but he's about to become my supervisor. What do I do?
No, period. That's it. No, that's it. Run. You got to really evaluate how big that crush is.
Right.
Because you're just going to get yourself or him into some trouble. If it's just like, oh, he's cute, then I would probably just bail on that.
Yeah.
There's many cute people.
Yeah.
But if it's serious, then you probably better.
I would find someone to investigate if he has similar feelings towards you so that before you put yourself out there and look like an idiot and get fired.
Right.
Then you can like gauge the risk factor if it's at least worth it.
Yeah. Oh, fun crushes at the workplace.
Okay. Oh my God, this is juicy. Finding your hubby cheating, but not wanting to bring it up and downplaying it because you cheated once in the past.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Wait.
I need so much more information. Like, does he
God,
know?
I wish he was here right
does
now.
Does he know that you cheated in the past?
Yeah, I need to know that.
Or is it we just the guilty conscience that's
well,
downplaying it?
Were you married
it?
When you cheated in the past?
Or are you downplaying it because he doesn't know and you're like, fuck, I can't really say anything, you know? Or does he know? And you're downplaying it because he's going to be like, shut up, bitch. You cheated on me first.
Yeah, but do you have kids?
Yeah, so
that's
many questions. Okay, we're not going to get any of these questions. So
oh my God.
Let's just discuss it.
Oh, okay, here. You want to discuss it? I'll fucking discuss it. You go right up to him. Fuck that.
And tell him.
Yeah.
Be like, you cheated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cheated. Now, do you finish it with, listen, you cheated. I need to know everything about it. And then once he tells you, be like, you're off the hook. I cheated about two years ago.
So let's call it spade a spade.
So spade a spade. And then we go from here. I don't know. That there's a lot of.
I would say go to therapy to discuss all of this. Can we interview?
Yeah.
Can we interview you on the show?
I fucking need more information.
I would say, look, if you cheated and you guys have talked about it and you have decided you are going to put it in the past and move forward, and then he cheated, you have every right to then, because you have made a repact of a promise to like, let's move forward in a healthy
That's
way
right. Yeah.
You have every right to go and like discuss it and want information and talk about it, and you don't need to downplay it. if you didn't tell him, mm-hmm. y'all need to go to therapy. And both come fucking clean. Otherwise, like, why are you guys still together?
I think that's the biggest, the big question is, why is anybody cheating?
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. This is a good question. How did you trust that Tay was the one after my first marriage? I'm scared of choosing wrong again, which I get.
I get that too.
Did you read The Ridiculous Misadventures? I second guessed myself and third guessed myself and fourth guessed myself.
Didn't I just come to you a couple weeks ago and be like, God, imagine if you made
the wrong decision, the
other choice, yeah. and like, I know there would be
yeah.
no baby.
It's like
there
that movie that Lily Reinhart just did, where it's like you see the two versions of her life, like if she made one choice, or if it was if she got pregnant or if she didn't get pregnant, and it's like totally separate things. But then the message of it was she ended up for herself at the same kind of resolution or outcome. Anyways, it was a good movie. Highly recommend. I think it's on Netflix. But I think I just jumped and trusted. Mm-hmm. And I say this all the time. It's like you're either going to end up wildly happy or you're going to end up heartbroken and learning a big fucking lesson that's then going to take you to the person that you do want to be with eventually, mm-hmm. or more into yourself, both which are very valid, good options.
You had just come off of that lesson, that big life,
yeah.
twice.
Yeah. And when we bought our house, which was pretty fucking, like, looking back on it, cuckoo bananas of us, like, we were like, cool, we've broken up four times. We've been together, like, consistently for 3 months now. Let's buy a house mm-hmm. in the middle of a pandemic. And when we were about to close escrow, I had a full-on panic attack and was like, what the fuck? Like, what if this is a bad fucking decision? And what you said to me, I still say is like what made me finally like really know.
The business partner?
You were like, look, we're either going to be wildly happy and this is going to be the best thing we've ever done, or we're going to break up and we'll be friends and this is a really good business investment.
Yeah.
And I was like, only this man who I just fucking put through the ringer and was like back and forth with and then was like, let's buy a house. And like, yay, family, let's do it. And then to say, I'm panicking, for you to not be like, fuck you. And like, don't worry about it. Let me take the pressure off.
Yeah.
That's when I knew. But the answer to that is like, you don't know. You just trust and jump.
Yeah.
And don't ignore red flags.
Well, and also if you see somebody, I mean, the way I look at you and the way I feel about you, if you're out there and you get that feeling from somebody, stick with that person.
Unless it's toxic as fuck, then
right.
don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How to get a toxic ex to stop trying to contact you, blocked and all. Okay. First of all, if you want someone to get like the message to stop contacting you, there are ways. I mean, first, you block them on all socials. You block them on Venmo. You block them on all of the little things, on all the emails that they could fucking try and contact you on. Block the numbers. And you tell them, stop fucking contacting me. And then if it still persists, you say, if you don't stop contacting me, I'm going to report you.
Yeah.
And then if they don't stop contacting you, you fucking report them.
Yeah, that's the, you have to.
Send because a cease and desist letter, like scare the shit out of him.
And there's
you know.
Also, I mean, you people watch the fucking news. There's whack jobs out there and, you know, no need to mess around.
Yeah.
So like I would just be very clear right from the get go.
Threaten his fucking ass.
Unless you like in the back of your mind, like are enjoying it.
Which in that case, why are you writing this question?
Right.
And because I'll get people that are writing in that are like, so I'm going no contact. I blocked him on everything, but he still has my Venmo. And I'm like, bitch, that's you. That's you right. being like, maybe he'll see that I'm out to dinner and like where I'm going and yada da da da. It's like,
God.
No. Okay, last one. This is difficult. Fighting profusely on parenting styles. That's tough. That's why they tell you before you have a baby, make sure you have these difficult discussions because that shit's who wins on that?
Yeah, that is major.
Yeah.
Because if you don't see eye to eye, you wait until you have a baby and you're tired and you're up at night and you're not going to. Although I will say this, the first 6 months, you're not really parenting. You're
No, but there's like important.
Keeping alive.
No, we're keeping alive. No, but there's decisions like, are you going to do vaccines? Are you going to do vaccines all at once? Are you going to get this shot? Are you going to like, what happens if like this thing comes about? Like, are you going to get the helmet or not?
I'm certainly hoping that anybody who is in a relationship, who is making a decision to have a kid, you already have discussed all of that. You already have figured all those things out. You know, now there's thousands of stories that aren't like that. And they just met and they're like, this is happening.
Well, there's also stories about people that know each other very, very, very well.
And people change.
People change and
people change.
Are then co-parenting and still have different opinions on things.
Well, yeah, that's a very difficult question.
Yeah.
Because you start to get into rights. Each state has different rights.
Right. And this question feels, I mean, there's no details, obviously, but it feels like they're still together. Like,
yeah, it doesn't feel like it's a co-parenting situation. I mean, I would immediately bring in a third party.
Like a therapist.
Yeah, of some sort. And that's totally mutual to this.
Like a family therapist.
Yeah, like a family therapist. But every state is different. There's vaccination rights and stuff. Did you know that in California, if you and I divorced, you couldn't just take our son to Europe?
Right.
You couldn't do that.
Right.
Like, it's fucking illegal.
I mean, like, legally, but then, like, you're talking to me, so...
I mean, I know, but
I probably could and would. I'd find a way.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You would
just have don't
to
ever
do
leave
that,
me because you'll be fucked,
you would
what I'm
have
saying.
To get me to sign off on that.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't know some of those things.
Yeah.
So there's, I'm sure there's a lot of those types
of... Yeah, but like, I'm sure, like, if you're in a relationship and you're fighting on parenting styles, it's like, find some good books that you guys can read together. I have Hunt Gather Parent on my nightstand that I still have not finished reading, but I've heard really good things about it. And then, fuck, what's that one that my mom was like so hellbent on us reading that like changed? Parent Effectiveness Training.
Oh, right.
That when her and my dad both read that book, she said it like completely changed the way that they saw things. And getting a therapist that's going to be able to be a good third party to tell one of you, like, this is not the greatest.
Also,
and like, maybe consider this opinion.
Also acknowledging that there's a lot of times that arise with whatever age they are that you just have to acknowledge that that's going to pass. They're going to get over whatever this situation is. And maybe it doesn't need this kind of regimented parenting, or on the flip side of that, no parenting. Maybe you just, there's a lot of times where everybody is like, oh my God, this has to happen. And it's just like, I'm experiencing that with my daughter. Like, you know, maybe we just don't need to do so much and
let it breathe.
They'll grow out of whatever they're going through. So there's a lot of different variations of the question, but that question is a scary question because to me, it would be a nightmare.
Yeah. I think it's,
it would be,
I think that's
a nightmare.
Very valuable what you just said. And I would add to that, know that you are probably going to fuck up at some point.
Even the person in the relationship who's always right, here we go, you fuck up. Everybody fucks up.
Hey, it's minimal.
Right.
But it does happen. I'm human.
You know, I
think... I sound so annoying to people that don't know my fucking humor. I mean, like, Jesus.
But all that stuff, I can't emphasize this more. It has to be discussed before.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. People change. We tried, in my first marriage, we tried the sleep training and we were going for it and something switched in my ex-wife. And that was it. That was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a difference in parenting right there. And what am I going to do? Fight?
No.
Yeah. I'm just going to. Well, especially like I also realize the mother's place,
right?
In the first couple of years, and
well, it's
just
really
like,
tough too, because I can attest to that now too. Like, there is this thing, I don't know if it's the Scorpio in me or the mother in me or the D all of the above, that would just be like, well, oh, really?
Yeah, it's your. I mean, when it's all said and done, like,
no, but it's not. It's a very slippery slope because I want to be like, fuck you. It's going to be my decision and like try and fucking challenge me. but I also love you and you helped me create this child.
Well, and also you respect my brain.
Yeah.
I think that's
at least have a like rational conversation about it. Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
You have to respect the other person. So even if I come up with a bad idea, it's not like you're a fucking idiot. It's like, no, and we're not doing that. But you're like at least giving me.
Well, sure.
And it has to be like that. That doesn't happen all the time. And that's where it becomes an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
It becomes a real big issue with that. But there's so many different. I'm like
layers
going back,
and like
I'm going back with all
scenarios.
Of my daughter's last 10 years of all of the moments that I had with my ex-wife and her just figuring that out. And now like having it all start over and having my daughter come and live here and seeing you with her and acknowledging that now we're doing different parenting.
Right.
So I'm like full bore with this whole parenting
thing.
Yeah,
it's like wild dynamic.
Yeah,
changes
it's crazy.
And like,
I'm so fucking. I don't know. I'm lucky.
Yeah,
I'm very lucky.
You are very lucky.
You're amazing.
You will not. If we ever get divorced, you will not find that luck twice. I will fucking suck to co-parent with. I'm just letting you know.
No, I mean I'm saying I'm lucky for a lot of reasons. I'm lucky because you are an amazing mom. Hands down.
Thank you.
And it's only, you're only 7 months in and you're fucking really taking to it. I'm in awe. I'm totally in awe. You're also amazing with my kid and who is now becoming part of your life. And
well, not becoming. She's very much so.
And very
life.
Much so. And to watch that and to even watch you do a little parenting with her is, I love it. I'm totally all into it. Yeah. You know, and I'm also lucky because of our situation with my ex.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a rocky road, but it.
No, but like looking at what other people deal with, like we're fucking
God,
doing great.
We're doing great. We're
doing great. Okay. We have covered so much goodness on this episode.
That was fun. We were laughing.
To end it, I would just like to remind you guys when you go off into the rest of your day today, wherever you might be, take a deep breath, close your eyes, and remember that Tay wakes up with a boner.
Oh my God. Well, I was like, where the fuck are you going with this?
I couldn't even say it with a Zen face. Bye. We love you.
Bye, guys.
All right, FMLers. If you don't want to miss an episode, make sure to follow on your favorite podcast app. And if you're loving the show, drop us a 5-star rating and leave a review. You can keep up with me on Instagram at Gabrielle Stone or the podcast page at FML Talk Podcast. For all the merch and books signed personally by me, you can shop the FML line on eatprayfml.com. And as always, have a fucking self-love cocktail on me. Cheers.
Welcome to As a Woman, Fertility Hormones and Beyond. I'm your host, Dr. Natalie Crawford, and I am a fertility physician and co-founder of Fora Fertility in Austin, Texas. We will talk about a wide range of topics, including the menstrual cycle, your hormones, infertility, IVF, mental health, and, well, beyond. So join us and become part of the community of collaboration that amplifies others as a woman.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.